T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
8 o'clock, Sports Radio 94, WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley is behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. Coming up, we will have Howie Roseman and Zach Ertz. We'll play that in a little bit. Talking today after the trade, Ertz to the Arizona Cardinals for a fifth-round pick. And what's the fella's name coming back here? Gowan?
Tay Gowan?
Tay Gowan, a cornerback from UCF who opted out.
Yeah, he originally went to Miami. You think he played one game in Miami and then went to JUCO? And then he played 1 year at UCF.
And opted out.
And then he opted out. So he hasn't played competitive football since 2019.
Okay, and he's a late-round pick anyway. He was a sixth-round pick. I did see, I want to give credit. Someone said today that if he hadn't opted out, probably would have been drafted fourth or fifth round. So there's something there. It's kind of like a flyer, a lottery pick, a lottery ticket on a young cornerback. So he comes back, fifth-round pick comes back for Zach Ertz. I think at this point you weren't getting anything better than that. The Eagles held on to Ertz. They didn't trade him for nothing, didn't release him, which I was in favor of. I thought it was pretty cool. It's very easy to bash the Eagles right now for everything. I thought it was pretty cool they let him play last night. They obviously had a trade worked out before this morning. I mean, there's no way that they just made that trade this morning. That was worked out. You saw Ertz crying when he walked into the locker room last night. He knew. Jay Glazer was reporting it. I believe, and we'll hear from Howie later in the show, I believe them that they knew and they took the risk that he would get hurt last night and let him play one more game as an Eagle. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I think he was also pressed into duty because Dallas Goedert is on the COVID list. Like, were you going to go into a game with Jack Stoll as the only tight end on the roster?
Combination of they needed him last night, but also I think there's some teams that when they have a trade of a player that they wouldn't let him play in the game.
Right, and I do think, I mean, Zach Ertz has been pretty durable throughout his career, last year notwithstanding, but for a while, like, he was real emotional last night. I thought, well, they're not home again for another 3 weeks. Like, the trade deadline's going to be gone by the time they're back home. So this could be his last home game no matter what, whether he's traded today or a week from now or at the deadline. But I did think it was a nice moment. Like, for a guy who I think I kind of soured on for much of the summer based on everything, I think it all worked out. Like, I think everybody got what they wanted. He got a touchdown. He got his curtain call moment. And we can all move on.
Yeah, and I was a big fan. Zach Ertz, I loved him when they drafted him out of Stanford. I thought the first few years of his career and was kept waiting for that breakout. I was like, this guy's really good and really productive already. And then he eventually became one of the best tight ends in the NFL. And he has the catch that helped the Eagles win their only championship, their only Super Bowl. Like, there's nothing else you have to say. Like, he will go down in Eagles history. I'm happy for the guy that he gets to go to a good team now. And it'll be cool to watch him. I expect Zach Ertz back in the postseason. 215-592-9494. All right, let's take a couple calls, and we'll let you hear what Michael Vick had to say today about Jalen Hurts. I believe the bigger issue right now is the head coach. I'm more worried about Nick Sirianni than Jalen Hurts. How about you? Roger is in South Jersey. Hey, Roger.
Hi. Good evening, my brother. I am totally with you. I believe it's Sirianni. Now, I'm a homer. I worked at the University of Oklahoma for 10 years before I moved back to New Jersey. But here's what I saw last night. There were a few times where I could count to two and that somebody was coming clean, not being chipped, not being blocked, came totally full speed ahead, and he had to roll out. What I'm saying is it's really unfortunate that the offensive line is banged up again and they have the issue with Lane going on and all this other stuff. But for the caller that said Gardner Minshew, could you imagine what's Gardner going to do in there when in 2 seconds when the blitz comes and he has to get out of there?
Not much, right? And he's not going to be able to – I mean, Gardner can move a little bit, but he obviously doesn't move like Hurts. The funny thing is, Roger, the only thing the offense does well right now, the only way they score is Jalen's legs. So if you took Jalen's legs out, I don't think they'd be throwing it up and down the field.
And here's the other kicker. A few weeks ago, we watched a full NFL game with a new head coach, new offense, a young quarterback that needs some help. He needs, I mean, I could see why they called Lincoln Riley first, and you know what I mean? I mean, you need to set seeds down for him and help him along the way. And to run a full game and not run one man in motion the whole time, that one really blew my mind. I mean, doesn't that help the young quarterback read the defense and tell if they're in zone or in man-to-man?
Yep, it helps him define where what the defense is doing. And, he can kind of start reading the defense before the snap. Yep.
Yeah, so how Bush League and amateur is that to send him out there and not run one man in motion the whole time? I mean, it's really bad. And I'm sitting here, I watched Tom Brady last night. Now, what's that big tackle's name with the W?
Werfs, yeah, Tristan Werfs. Yeah.
Werfs. Yeah. Now, I watched a blitz come in that the Eagles sent, and Werfs, he put his hands on his man for a second or two, and then he slid his feet over and he chipped the other guy that was coming in, which gave Brady 2 extra seconds, which gave Brady a really like 4 seconds to get that ball out of there, and he did. And I'm sitting here going, now, there you go. There you go. That's what the Eagles don't have, and they're coming clean and they're coming after him. Basically, what I'm saying is, I don't think Hurts has much of a choice. He has to run for his life on many of those plays.
Unfortunately, he does, and it, you know, right now at this stage of his career, Roger, it doesn't work out. I mean, they need to get the run game going. They need to make it easier for us. They're not. Roger, appreciate the phone call. They're not. I mean, Jalen has to be better, but they're also not making it easy for him to be a good quarterback right now. The craziest part of this is how the variance is there. Like, you know, they've had games, and Hurts has had moments where they've really pushed the ball and moved the ball and had a lot of offense. And then they've had 2 games in a row now where, like, it doesn't look like NFL offense. Like, 2 games in a row where they can't convert first downs. And I've gone back to this a lot this year. There's a 2013 Chip's first year thing to this. Well, like, remember Chip Kelly's first game in Washington? You couldn't stop the Eagles. And they had moments across the next month or so where they looked pretty good. And they also had moments where they looked like they couldn't get a first down with any quarterback. Vic, Foles, Matt Barkley, who was terrible. And then eventually it got itself going. Now Chip had a way better track record before he got here than Sirianni. I mean, we thought he would be good. We didn't really know what Sirianni was. But it's just weird. The same player, same offense, same coach. At times, it's had some moments, and at times it's looked just horrendous. I mean, if I asked you right now what they're going to do next week against the Raiders, like, would you be surprised if they had one of those games where they actually did do some good things? I wouldn't. I also wouldn't be surprised if this continues. I have no idea. Like, if you paint either picture to me next week, I'm not going to be shocked. That's how up and down this is. But what I am worried about is I haven't been impressed with the head coach since week one. Since week one, when no one knew what his offense was, that was their big secret. They keep it close to vest, no one knows, and it worked. And they caught the Falcons off guard. Since then, it feels like defense know what's coming. It feels like the screen game is totally sniffed out. And it feels like they're doing nothing to make Hurts' life easier except RPO, RPO, RPO. Figure it out, Jalen. I'm just very worried about the head coach. 215-592-9494. Jeffrey is in Coatesville. Hey, Jeffrey.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Jeffrey. What's up?
I'm with you. I definitely do not like Sirianni's play calling. I think he needs to do more for Jalen Hurts because it takes me back from when Donovan McNabb first came into the league, how they didn't really do much for him.
Yeah, they asked him to do a lot, Jeffrey. And you look, the offense around him at that point, obviously when he first got here, there wasn't much to help Donovan out, but it kind of was like, hey, Donovan, run around and make a play.
Yeah. And, I'm with you. I haven't watched the Eagles since week one.
You haven't watched them?
Nope, I haven't watched them since week one. When I watch them, I don't like what's going on.
Oh, you haven't liked what you've seen? Yeah, I mean, it's been nothing there. I mean, like, there's just nothing there to make you feel good about it. Jeffrey, the coach I'm just worried he's a disaster already.
Yeah, I think he is.
Yeah, if he is, this team's in big trouble. Jeffrey, appreciate the phone call. All right, let's hear from Mike Vick. Mike Vick was on with Skip and Shannon today. On FS1, and he was asked about Jalen Hurts and what he sees, and you know, is he seeing enough from Jalen, or is this thing going sideways? Here is how Mike Vick, another quarterback, obviously had to figure things out and become a more efficient thrower as he became a veteran in the NFL. Here's what he thinks of Jalen.
I think Jalen Hurts has played good enough football to show that he's, you know, worthy of being looked at as the franchise quarterback. It's a lot more that he has to accomplish. We got to see him in bigger moments. We got to see him jump out on front of in front of teams and pull out victories. Like last night, I felt like they had a chance. And I did watch that game last night, just evaluating Jalen and looking at everything he did, the in and outs of the offense, you know, how they moved the ball down the field, his mannerisms. And I think he has all the intangibles. I think most importantly, is Nick Sirianni satisfied with what he's seeing out of Jalen Hurts? This is not a guy that he drafted. So do he have a specific type of quarterback that he's looking for? Now, obviously, like I said, Jalen got to win some games of significant importance. And, you know, if he does, he'll show this franchise, you know, that he's worthy. But they're not going to wait, especially the fans playing in the Lincoln Financial Field. They demand excellence. They want to win. And, you know, if not, you're going to hear it. You're going to hear the boos early, and it's going to become a distraction. So that's why I'm watching him very closely as he go through this gauntlet, trying to win games and trying to show the entire city of Philadelphia and the organization that he's worthy of being the quarterback for the future. But right now, I would say he's doing a good job based on his athleticism and what he brings to the table. He just got to learn to finish.
Well, I mean, one of the things Vic said there is, I absolutely agree with, is there's not, like, Jalen doesn't have much time. It's the way the Eagles have set this up. It's the fact of where he was drafted in the draft. He was not a first-round pick. Jalen Hurts has the year, but really, in a smaller picture, he has less time than that. I mean, I don't think it's long before, if Jalen Hurts plays really poorly again next Sunday in Las Vegas, I think post-game, Sirianni will get a question about going to Flacco. Or Minshew, but right now Minshew is not suiting up for the games. I think he's inactive, right? They're only suiting two quarterbacks up.
Yeah, he hasn't actually suited up yet.
So I mean, the broader question would eventually be Minshew, but do you agree, Tucker, next Sunday, if Jalen has another game like he did yesterday, post-game, there will be a question to Sirianni, has he thought about putting Flacco in?
I would imagine so. I think if you're Nick Sirianni, you have to probably think about that too, because if you're Nick Sirianni, no matter how bad of a job you're done, Jalen Hurts hasn't played well enough for you to think that you're hanging him out to dry, that he's carrying you to these performances so far through 6 weeks. So if at some point he thinks, you know, for me, selfishly, if I can win, if my offense can look better with another guy under center, and I can potentially save my job and get myself off the hot seat, the Eagles aren't committed to Jalen Hurts past really this year.
Right.
I don't think Howie Roseman would necessarily have an issue with it.
No, but you might be right. There has to be they have to figure out what Hurts is, and maybe they think they know already. I don't think they do yet, but they have to figure, like, that's got to be the objective of this season. Can this guy be good enough for us? And I don't see how it helps them taking him off the field. I don't, unless they're also evaluating Sirianni and they need to see if his offense works with anybody. 215-592-9494. I think the bigger issue right now is the head coach, not the quarterback. And I'm not saying Jalen played well. He didn't last night. But I am far more worried about a head coach whose plays are being diagnosed, that is not making things easy on his quarterback, doesn't seem to have a plan, and his in-game decisions. I mean, it's brutal. I mean, it's brutal to watch this guy kick field goals down 14. I mean, what are you doing, man? Like, what is that guy doing out there? Chris is in Logan. What's up, Chris?
Joseph.
Chris.
I've been listening all day and all week, and just through the whole season, the conversation with Jalen Hurts. First of all, if you're going to sit here and tell me about Nick Sirianni and you're going to say, you know, hey, we got to give him time and, you know, see how he adapts and if he makes adjustments. Okay, fine. That's fine. Then you have to say the same thing about Jalen Hurts, because the last time that I checked, I watched a kid who shouldn't have been a second round pick come in and ascend under a coach who won a Super Bowl. That coach was fired. Somebody that this organization brought in, he now comes in, and I see Jalen Hurts descend. Now, look, I'm not saying Doug's perfect. I'm not saying Nick Sirianni is perfect, or Jalen Hurts is somehow Joe Montana or Tom Brady. All I'm saying is you have to give this the whole season. You have to allow Nick Sirianni to give Jalen Hurts an actual NFL offense. Can he handle it? Yes or no? Can Nick Sirianni make adjustments after 6 weeks of not really, I guess, understanding what he's doing wrong And if we look back to the 2017 season, if you remember the Kansas City game that the Eagles lost, Doug was hounded that week. Run the ball, Doug. Run the ball, run the ball. And from that moment forward, there was a balanced offense. And that was one of the reasons, other than the depth and Nick Foles playing literally out of his mind and Carson Wentz's MVP season, Doug doesn't get enough credit for the play calling that year. And coaching staff, whatever it is, that coaching staff, Doug, Frank Reich, whoever, there was a balance to that offense that really is underrated, that Nick Sirianni should go back, talk to people, call his buddy Frank Reich in Indianapolis and say, how do I balance the fact of I know I need to throw the ball in the NFL because that's how you win games, but I also need to, if for anything, run the ball to get to possibly save my job. Because Joe said on the Midday Show today, which I agree with, I think we're now at the point of being able to say, is firing Nick Sirianni at the end of the season or in the trade deadline something that needs to be thought of a little more? Not saying we should, not jumping to conclusions. Simply just saying, is this something that we should think about a little more?
Yeah, well, Chris, it's very popular and it's topical to talk about Hurts having an audition, right? If he's not good enough, they're going to get a new quarterback after the season. And to go off of what Joe's been talking about, I did hear him a little bit today, I think it's fair to do the same thing with Sirianni. Now, it would make the organization look ridiculous, but ultimately, that doesn't really matter. You got to get the right coach.
Absolutely.
No, I mean, if he keeps coaching like this and they keep losing games, yeah, I mean, if he doesn't look like he's a good enough coach, I'd fire him after the season, yeah.
Absolutely, and this is the last thing I'll say, and because I've always looked at it this way. First of all, we all came into the season this year knowing this team's probably not going to, you know, go to the Super Bowl. Maybe win the division, but hopefully they can compete.
Right.
It's a win-win. If Jalen Hurts succeeds, wow, we have our quarterback for the next couple of years on a rookie deal. If he fails, hey, I draft him, with a second-round pick, but I'm not tied to him. I don't have $120 million. Weird how that comes up again. I don't have $120 million tied to this guy. It's a rebuilding year. The organization should have been upfront with this from the very beginning. Just like how we said, oh, you know, we saw this, Zach Ertz. No, these are moves that a team who clearly is selling, trying to rebuild, does. And that's where we're at right now. Nobody likes this. Let me be very clear. I don't like this. Nobody should like this, but it's just reality, and we have to be honest.
Yeah, and they have to be honest with themselves. And Chris, it's a good call, and I appreciate it. I mean, that's – I think any good organization is objective and honest with themselves. This is who we are. This is what we have. This is what the players, the coaches. But I go back to this, and I said this off the jump of the show tonight, that both stunk last night. Hurts stunk last night. Sirianni stunk last night. I am more concerned about Nick Sirianni than Jalen Hurts for a couple reasons. One, I've seen Jalen Hurts get back up after stinking. He stunk against Dallas. He played well the next week against Kansas City. Like, he's done this. He's had ups and he's had downs. He's had bad games, he's had good games. This has been his career so far. But I don't worry that he's going to keep playing like this because I've seen him play at a high level. But other than the first game of the season, when no one knew what his offense was and no one knew what the heck they were going to do, has Nick Sirianni impressed you once with his design, play calling, in terms of like setting, you know, the play calls up and the flow of the game? He hasn't impressed me once all year since week one. So I don't even know, like, next week, I would guess Jalen will play better, and Jalen will be more accurate. Is Sirianni going to be any better next week? I don't know. And I think if the Eagles are set up, and it's easier for them to find a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts than it is for them to get another coach. It's the reality of where they are as a franchise. Potentially three top 10 picks. There's veteran quarterbacks out there that could ask out and want out. They could trade for one of those guys. I mean, quarterbacks kind of grow on trees now. They come in the league, and they're pretty capable of playing. Coaches, you got to hit the right one. And we've had a lot of coaching candidates that have said no to the Eagles. The Eagles got the last pick of the 2016 group. They ended up hitting a home run with Doug. They got the last pick of this group. It may not be a home run with Sirianni. Let's say they do a coaching search again next year. Are they going to get the first pick of whoever it is? I don't know. Joe Brady, Kellen Moore maybe is available next year. He's doing a good job again with the Cowboys and Dak Prescott. I don't know who the guy's going to be. But is the first pick going to come here? Hasn't happened. I mean, it hasn't happened. Two times in a row, the Eagles have gone for a coach. They haven't gotten the guy that everyone talked about. If Sirianni fails, this thing feels rudderless. It doesn't feel rudderless if Hurts fails and Sirianni's good. Let's get another quarterback.
And it also helps that the Eagles aren't necessarily committed to Jalen Hurts. Right. They haven't sunk a lot of resources into Jalen Hurts compared to the last quarterback was here, right? They didn't spend a top five pick. They didn't give him a $120 million contract.
It won't cripple the salary cap.
Yeah.
It won't do anything.
I mean, you look at what they've done, and I know a second-round pick is a lot of draft capital, but quite honestly, if they move on from Jalen Hurts, it's not going to hamstring the team the way it did with the last one.
No. If they have to fire the coach, though, the optics look really bad. It doesn't mean it would ruin the franchise forever, but they'd look... Like, couldn't you see the Eagles being the laughing stock of the NFL in January if they're 5-12 and they fire Sirianni after 1 year?
Yeah, but if they hire the right guy, that'll be quickly forgotten, right? Like, our new boss, Rod, he brought up the Arizona Cardinals, and they fired...
Steve Wilks.
Bruce Arians, right? They brought in Steve Wilks.
Right.
Bruce Arians, I mean, he didn't win a Super Bowl there, but he had a lot of success in Arizona. Probably could have had playoff success if he had a quarterback that could stay healthy in the postseason, which sounds oddly familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And then Steve Wilks comes in. It's an absolute disaster. Josh Rosen was an absolute disaster. And they blew it up and moved on. And at the time, it looked like they were a laughingstock, right? You give up on a guy after 1 year. You bring in Cliff Kingsbury. You give up on Josh Rosen after 1 year and draft Kyler Murray. And right now, they might be the best team in the NFC, and no one's really thinking about that.
Yeah, it worked. It did work. The odds of it working here, I feel, are less. But, yeah, I mean, it could happen. 215-592-9494. Rodney is in Essington. Hey, Rodney.
What's happening, Mr. Joe?
How you doing?
Listen, you guys are firing shots into the deck of the ship. You know, took it on my boy Jalen again. I could try to tell you guys, he's the guy. I mean, play design. They need better play design, you know, and they got to get the tight ends more involved into the game and spread the offense out. And the whole notion of not running against a good run defensive team, I think they should have ran the ball more.
Well, I mean, look what it, Rodney, they actually started running the ball a little bit in the fourth quarter, and the offense worked, yeah?
A little too late. But see, what I agree with you in terms of, I think this guy, Sirianni, ought to turn his authority over to the guy that he hired, that they had brought in to do the job, the offensive coordinator. Why do you hire an offensive coordinator if you're not going to use him?
I don't know what he does. I mean, most of these offensive coaches call their own plays, but I have no idea what Shane Steichen does. No idea.
It's ridiculous to suggest that at this juncture that Jalen is the problem. he's clearly a talented player. Now, you just played a tape of Michael Vick,
mm-hmm.
one of the greatest lefties, potent lefties in the game that's ever been. And he gave the guy an endorsement, unless I'm hearing it wrong.
No, he did. Yeah, he's a fan.
He can play this game. We don't have a Tim Tebow.
Agreed. Yeah, I mean, the guy that compared him to Tebow, obviously, like, Tebow was not an NFL quarterback. Jalen, we'll see if he's a good one or an average or below average, but he can play.
They're going to go into Vegas, and they're going to beat the Raiders. I'm telling you right now.
Rodney, it wouldn't shock me.
I'm going to call you back next week.
Yeah.
I'm going to call you back next week to tell you that it was true.
Well, I wouldn't be shocked, Rodney. I wouldn't be shocked.
Confidence, man. They got to just keep plugging, keep playing, spread the offense out.
Yeah.
And that's how they're going to do it. He's got to step back a little bit and get some of the other guys involved. You got a team of coaches, and you've got to use your gene pool, all your ideas, and put it together. Play design, man. You exploit the defense's tendencies. You got to show different looks and keep them off balance. And I think what we're saying is that the offense has not progressed to that point. They've got to have better play design. You can't come out and say, here's what we're going to do.
And there has to be, Rodney, some sort of balance where the defense isn't just totally keyed on the three or four things you do with the RPO or the screen. It's to the point where the quarterback's making a lot of mistakes and missing players, but they're also setting him up to not have a lot of success. 215-592-9494. Let's say hop. We'll come back. The Eagles are on pace to do something that's never been done in the NFL. It's not good, and it really goes to show how much of this they're putting on Jalen Hurts. It's not conducive to success. I'll hit that next. All your phone calls at 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock, we will hear Howie Roseman and Zach Ertz today as they explain the trade. And Ertz talked about his time here in Philadelphia. 215-592-9494 for your phone calls next. Ertz and Howie at 9. And we'll do our NFL picks for week number 6 later on in the show, right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.